revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have one of my favorite people on, Ms. Lynn Taylor. Every time she comes on, it's a wealth of information, and I learned something. And I read Lynn's article on the federalization of sports, and I thought it was fascinating. Since I just listened to a sports show on the way home, and they were talking about how people who are in professional sports can now go back to college based on some sort of loophole. And it seems to me that it's become such a moneymaker. Forget about the gambling for a minute, but it's not just college. It's not just pro sports anymore. It seems like everybody is getting involved with this money train. So I guess my first question is, what is the federalization of sports?
Well, Dr. Elena, thank you so much. And as always, it's a joy to be with you and your audience and being able to not only share information, but learn new things because, you know, we're never too old to learn and we shouldn't be so complacent that we're not willing to get off of our bottoms, so to speak, and get out there and say, hey, wait a minute, not on my watch. Federalizing anything means that you're going to take it from its roots. And you're going to add so much government control to it that it ceases to exist as its former self and becomes something new. And, you know, as an avid sports fan, I know I'm not by myself when I say this is a growing concern. But when I see Washington get involved in places that it has absolutely no constitutional stance or much less business, it's really a warning cry for us, because if they're going to stop and do this with something as innocent as sports, what else is going to happen?
Well, I think, you know, since we always talk about education and how from a grade school up standpoint, does this in any way sync with Common Core? I mean, how does this sync with the education system?
Well, I'm so glad you asked me that, because back in 2014, I wrote an article for a now defunct website. It was called Prevent Common Core, and it was all about how the goal was to take education, use Common Core to reshape what education was, and thereby have the NCAA, which is the National Collegiate Athletic Association, come along and go, oh, well, if you want to go to college and you want to play college level sports of any type, here's what you have to do. You have to meet the educational standards. So we have seen this slowly ramp up, kind of like that frog in the pot who doesn't realize it's being boiled. And now we've seen it go into the fact of not only was it taking your math and your English and things like that, saying, okay, these are the Common Core requirements you need to meet in order to be able to be eligible to play sports. Now we've attached to it the social and emotional learning, the critical thinking, the mental health, every aspect of your son or daughter. And this can apply not only to public schooling, but private schooling. I've even seen this happen to homeschool students who want to follow that path of, I want to go to play on a collegiate sports team.
Okay, I have to ask, how do you do social, emotional, whatever, and sports? How does that sync? Are they testing kids? How is that playing out?
Actually, what they're doing, Dr. Elena, is they're using mindfulness, which we know centers on you're the only God you need. You're the only source you need. You can do it all. It all comes from within you. And there's a lot of mental supposed fitness that goes in with it. Supposedly collaboration and teamwork. You've got tutors who come in who have been taught, okay, this player may need tutoring in math or English or psychology or whatever the major may be. And that tutor has to comply with whatever the standards the college has. And again, this is not just for public universities. This also goes into privately funded universities, especially when they take federal funding to comply with Title IX, which was supposed to literally level the playing field for women and girls in sports.
You know, the more I think about this is very devious, honestly, because have a child who wants to be a member of a team, and they kind of have you. If you want to join it, you have to jump through a hoop to get there. Mm-hmm. It's not just go out. You have an organic wish to play a sport. Now you're going to be gatekept in some sort of way.
Right. And, absolutely.
You know, this, you know, if you look for things, you're going to find it. So how much anxiety is associated with trying to go out for cheerleading or for football? That's a super anxiety provoking time. I wonder if they're going to say that kids have some sort of issue when in actuality it's everybody who wants to join something. There's some sort of anxiety associated with it. Do you foresee that being a diagnosis coming down the pipe?
Oh, I could absolutely see how it could be misconstrued. You know, for an example, I can remember when my city league way back in the dark ages, they had what we call peewee football. And of course, this was the precursor to going to junior high school, what they call middle school now, or high school, and, you know, be on the football team. But anyway, it was a way for everyone who wanted to play, be involved in sports. And so the city had us broken up into four different teams, and you went out for cheerleader tryouts to help encourage the participation of the girls, because at that point we didn't have any women that were playing football as we do now. Mm-hmm. And so the fact of it was you had to go through all the stress, all the fundraising, you had to do all the stuff that your counterparts would have to do. And, you know, it was nerve wracking. It was soul crushing if you didn't get accepted. And I can tell you, I went out for cheerleader three different times. I didn't make it the first two times. I made it the last time. And I thought, oh, I've arrived. Oh, my goodness. And then I find out, no, you have to buy your uniform, or you have to have your mom make it, or then you have to buy the letter, and then you have to go and make your pom-poms. Now they buy them, but we had to make our pom-poms. And then you didn't go on field trips or anything like that, but then you had to go and buy the shoes. Now, you know, we weren't exactly rolling in it, as a lot of people still today are not. But when you found out that you were helping contribute to your role being on that team, it gave you a sense of belonging, but it also was a sense of accomplishment more so, because you had all these tough things that you had to meet, and you can meet them and know that you did it without a whole lot of help. And what we've seen transpire today is we have what's called NIL, or name and likeness. And this has recently entered the collegiate field, because people were going, oh, well, this team is so famous, you know, hey, mention the quarterback's name, and everybody, you know, just starts foaming at the mouth or whatever. But their name has been well recognized. Well, these corporate sponsors have now come in and gone, oh, well, you are such a good representation of what it means to be an American, and you're so famous, and you're this and that. We're going to give you a lucrative financial deal if you'll represent our product. This has now crept in. It's crept into college sports, so that instead of a player playing the game because they want to play it, and I'm not saying those players don't still exist, because they do, they're now seeing, oh, wait a minute, I can not only have the sport I love while I'm going to college, I can make a ton of money.
And that, to me, takes away the joy of it, because it becomes a business at that point, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And, you know, it's sad to say, but we've seen the NASCAR drivers with their uniforms, and they have patches of all their sponsors. And it's being suggested, and whether it's a joke or not, I don't really know, but it's being suggested that pretty soon that's what our college teams are going to look like, is that depending on what name and likeness deal that's been made, or what corporate sponsor has sponsored the entire team, they're going to basically be a business partner to whatever is going on. And so the way the government has decided to insert itself into this, unconstitutionally so, is that there are two or three bills out there that are in Congress right now that are going, oh, well, hey, we're from the government, and let us help you protect that name and license deal that's going down. Now, that may not sound so bad until you stop to consider that the lobbying efforts in DC at a federal level are almost 350 lobbyists strong from all kinds of different sports and colleges and other in industries. You know, a lot of that will consume casino betting. If you look at college sports, especially football, there is a huge market out there for people who want to bet real money on what collegiate team is going to make this bowl or that bowl or complete this game or that game or how much they're going to win by. It's absolutely off the chart. And the reason why we have lobbyists in DC championing for these bills that will kind of federalize sports is because DC knows not only is it big money, but if we can get big private partnerships involved in public universities, which is, you know, public-private partnership, oh, what a supposed win-win. Well, we're not bothering to stop and think, well, public-private partnership is fascism. But when you consider that the sports betting industry is at a $13.7 billion mark and growing daily, why do you think so many people are looking at collegiate and high school sports now?
So just a quick question. I understand the government always wants a toe in something, but what do they stand to gain? Is this going to be propagandized? Is it going to be politicized? I mean, you want to get away from this stuff. That's why you watch sports, so you can just be, you know, enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you what, there are several, I'm so pleased to see, whether I support the team or I don't, but I'm so pleased to see that there are some collegiate level coaches who are going, you know, NIL is just ruining the love of the sport. It absolutely is. And if you look up what Webster's Dictionary calls sports, it doesn't have a darn thing to do with how much money I can make or what kind of corporate bonus I could get, like a car or a house or, you know, that sort of thing. Those are things you're supposed to work up and achieve on your own, not just be given to you. Because you know as well as I do, when you're given something, while you may cherish it, you're not going to take near as good care of it as if you know you got out there and you worked for it and saved for it and met daily goals and, you know, did all that kind of stuff. But I think to answer your question about what DC has to gain, one of the people who is championing what's called the, the SCORE Act, which is about protecting the NIL deals for collegiate people, is a staunch financial supporter of the current sitting president. So you have one of his rich buddies out here championing for a sports deal, but when you go and you do the research, you find out that the person who is the rich buddy stands to lose millions if this SCORE Act doesn't go through. So why not prop it up? But now you've got parts of the NCAA, the National Collegiate for Athletics Association, getting in the mix going, oh yes, call Congress, tell them to support this because it's somehow going to damage women's sports. It's somehow going to damage your ability to be able to watch the Olympics.
That's a big stretch, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But remember, they're going to trot out any argument possible, whether there's a minute grain of truth in it or not, to go, here's why you need to support this. But let's stop and think. Congress has been trying to get in the sports business for a very long time. And the previous interview that I did on this gave links to how you could trace the trail, if you wanted to, of DC trying to get into sports. I've heard sports figures go, oh, yes, we need to get Congress involved in sports. And I'm screaming at the TV, although they can't hear me. No, you don't need Congress involved in sports because sports has already been compromised enough with the NIL deals and the sponsorships. Why in the heck would you want politics involved in a place it's not supposed to be inserted?
I mean, don't they have enough to do? And this is just another cash cow. And actually, from the standpoint of just cohesiveness. I can imagine this being used various sports, various people involved with sports to become a mouthpiece for something, for some sort of social agenda. Or political
Bingo.
Agenda.
Bingo. There it is.
Sad. Well, on that note, let's take our first break because that's something that we need to really tease out. It sounds good on the surface, but if someone's giving you money, you don't own anything. So let's take our first break. You're Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living a Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor, and we're talking about the federalization of sports. And Lynn, you did a great job of opening up this can of all sorts of things, of how our just the entertainment industry is being completely destroyed and being weaponized, if you really want to think about it. It's been to tell you what medicine is to take, how you're supposed to think, who you're supposed to want to be around. It's just ridiculous. So you talked about college, but you mentioned high school. How low do you think this is going to go? To grade school? How low will this tentacle extend?
I think it's going to go as far as we allow it, to be honest, Dr. Elena. And, you know, yeah, high school. Why high school? Because what are we doing in high school right now? We're not really equipping our students to address high school for in the moment. We're too busy going, oh, well, here in the future, we need to prepare you for how to work or, you know, that sort of thing. So we're not really dealing with in the moment. We're too busy thinking about, you know, later down the road. But we also have to stop and remember that we have people who are disabled who want to play sports, and rightly so. We have people who may choose to believe that, you know, they're not who God made them to be. They want to play in sports. They should be able to play in sports as well. My point of it is you have certain groups all along at different ages who want to become involved in sports. And, you know, as a freedom of speech aspect, as a freedom as an American, whether I agree with them on what they believe, that's, you know, that's not our business. It's not Congress's business any more than mine to say, okay, well, you know, this is the line you have to go through, or this is the exam you have to take to be able to be eligible. My point of it is that we've got PE programs that have been Common Core aligned for our youngest children. We have the Aspen Institute, which is a huge, well-known member of the Common Core State Standard singular, not plural, that has been, excuse my French, hell-bent on marginalizing as much as possible in education so that it's a cookie cutter existence. And they have a program out right now that's called Project Play. Well, who does it target? It targets not only disabled people, but it also attaches to other social agendas. So yes, you have social awareness out there. You have diversity, equity, and inclusion that very much plays into the sports makeup of not only high schools, but middle schools, elementary schools, colleges. And, you know, we even have community colleges that have sports teams now. So this is an across the board look at a model for how we're going to see sports continue to become. And unless we really want to just preserve the fun of it or the sport of the competition and stop monetizing it, we've got to say something to our leaders, whether they're state or whether they're local, especially at the federal level. Because, you know, these lobbyists are coming from groups that are well funded. You've got casinos, you've got bureaus, you've got gaming associations. And then you've got, I don't know how many sports collegiate associations have pledged their support to make sure that this SCORE Act goes through because they've not been given the whole truth. They've been given a half truth and then said, oh, you know what? because Representative or Senator so-and-so said, this is what the SCORE Act is, and this is what it does. Oh, let's get behind it. No, you really need to get in and you really need to read the language of not just the SCORE Act, but of the other acts that are going on. I think it's the Stop Sports Blackout Act as well, because that's coming from a monetized angle as well. And the Stop Blackout Sports is the one where the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is going to sit here and be able to penalize people for blacking out a sport that you may want to watch. Why in the name of all that's holy would the Federal Communication Commission be granted that power? If you are in an area and the sports game that you want to see is not available, there are plenty of ways that you can get that particular game, be it on YouTube, be it on your social media, or maybe you have a friend who lives in an area that plays the game and you can call each other and, you know, with the video chats, you can, I mean, there are several ways you can do this. Why do we have to have a government entity that was never constitutionally created come in and mandate, oh, well, because you blacked out this, not only does the team need to be compensated, but the customer needs to be compensated.
It's a really Bigfoot. That's just coming to smash everything. Now, once
it's the control.
Well, everything's always about control, money and control, right? So I want to tease this out or go a 300-foot view on this. If everything is controlled down to the behavior of the child and their social, emotional learning, whatever, how much do you think that this is going to lead to the children who succeed, who are rewarded in this system with scholarships and they go into the professional sports? How monolithic is this going to be? These are not children necessarily, and also right. People who maybe not as good, but off the bat, but if they actually played the sport for a while, it'd be very good. You're kind of taking the not just the fun, but the I guess the exposure or the ability to see what you're made of. It's kind of you're locked in at a very early age, and those that don't fit that mold are not allowed in. It sounds like it's very rigid.
Well, you know, it could be, but here's another thing. Here's another way to look at it, Dr. Elena. Think about all those children who they're trapped, no fault of their own, but they're trapped in a world where they don't have some of the same things that maybe some of their peers do, okay? Mm-hmm. And they see this name and recognition concept. They see it as a way out or a way to help. Okay, so then you have to stop and ask, all right, are Johnny and Susie being taught to go play sports because it's what they want to do? Are they being allowed to let that interest grow and flourish on its own? Or are they being taught that this is your ticket out, so to speak, and you'd be a fool not to take it? So you have to, that begs the question, what are they being conditioned to? What are they being taught to believe? You know, I would whole lot rather see a flag football game where kids are out there playing because they want to play. They want to be, you know, hanging out together. They want to have fun versus a team that feels they're owed something because they dared to walk on the field, because it changes everything.
Certainly does. But you think about how this fits with the parents. Because of cost of education, higher education is so expensive. Can you just imagine the parents, you know, getting involved at an early age to try to get their kid in this pipeline, come hell or high water, right? So forget about academics, forget about everything else, because this is the easy path, supposedly, the easy path to riches, and they get to ride along.
Well, you know, there's the financial aspect and the links to which parents will go, but there's also the compliance with a system you may not agree with. For example, the the way I've seen it hit homeschooling is I had a dear friend and her son wanted to play collegiate level baseball. Well, you know, not adhering to any of the Common Core stuff or whatever. It was the fact of, all right, well, when I plan my homeschool curriculum, I have to jump through this hoop academically. I have to jump through that hoop academically. I have to make sure that, you know, Johnny or Susie has the correct number of hours to be able to complete whatever course it is, and then have someone double check it and then make sure that it reaches the eligibility status that it needs to reach. So you've got a lot of planning that goes into, you know, what goes on inside the home as well. So there's that cost of compliance. Then you have to understand that not every home school is going to be able to be accepted unless they're under what's called an umbrella program. Now, the biggest example I can give you of the success of an umbrella program is the former quarterback for the University of Florida, Tim Tebow. Now, way back when my children were little, we lived in Florida, and that's where I started to homeschool. And the co-op, the group of homeschooling families that I belong to, had started to talk about these umbrella schools. And I'm like, well, what is that? And they're like, well, that's a school that offers protection, so to speak, for a homeschool family to come in and be able to participate in whatever extracurricular activity it is. It didn't necessarily start and end with sports, but it largely encompassed sports. But they were not totally for it because they had already started to see that, wait a minute, for Johnny or Susie to go participate in this extracurricular activity, they would have to give up some of their freedom of choice in how their child was educated. And they didn't feel it was worth it.
Give me an example of how would that be affected?
Testing, for one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the testing, you know, the teaching to the test, the, hey, do you, you know, take this nationally, and, you know, homeschoolers, depending on what state you're in, they do have to have assessments or testing to see, are we progressing in learning? Some states want you to take the SAT or the ACT, which are Common Core aligned. Some of them want you to take another type of test. So that's one of the biggest things that you have to comply with is what kind of testing. Or, okay, you're homeschooling, but here are the days we're doing the ACT or the SAT. And well, because your child is playing in our sports team, they have to come to the school that day and take that test. That would be a great example of the compliance. Now, modern day, I don't really know what else that would entail. I don't really want to know, but I would suggest if you are thinking about an umbrella type program, you really need to do your homework and find out, what does this mean for my child to be able to go and play on that taxpayer funded sports team? Or you could be like the organization that I have been in contact with here in North Carolina. It was part of the North Carolinians for Home Education. They came up with their own homeschool sports league that included football and other sports as well. I think tennis was on there. I think baseball was on there. So you don't have to comply with the system if you don't really want to. But going back to the Tebows, they made the choice to be able to put their son, because that's all he wanted to do, was go play collegiate football. So they chose to do that. Well, now fast forward all these years, and now we have states who have said, oh, well, let's create a Tim Tebow law in our state so that our homeschoolers can go have that great positive experience that Tim did. Now, I don't begrudge Mr. Tebow of anything that he's done, okay? He's done great things. He's been able to use his money for really good purposes. But my point is, why should you compromise what you're doing as a homeschooler, being nonconformist, to go say, oh, well, chuck it. Let me go conform myself and my children to a system just so they can have this opportunity, instead of trusting, let me have my child go through my homeschool my way, and then seeing how does God play it out?
You wonder if this is a backdoor way to gather the homeschool you know, the homeschool child.
Well, yeah. Especially the data, honey, because the data's tied to the testing. It's tied to the health care. It's tied to everything.
Well, let's take a break because I want to go over that because that's another side of this that we're not even thinking about. We're thinking about the social side, but not the testing and the data side. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. And Lynn, people can still go to your website, commoncorediva.com, and see what you've written in your podcast appearances, right?
Yes, ma'am, they certainly can. Now, one of my recent hosts said, wait a minute, I went on your blog and I see you haven't really written anything since December of 2024 or whenever it was. And I'm like, no, I haven't actually written an article on the blog since then. But don't lose the fact that there are hundreds of video links and podcast links that have taken its place. And the reason why I'm not actively writing on the blog right now is because I'm dealing with osteoarthritis in my hands. And so that's just a part of aging. And I knew, okay, maybe I can't type, but I can still talk. And as long as I can still talk, we can still get the word out there. So just because there may not be a current article, don't discourage yourself from going to the blog because you'll be able to find so many interviews on so many topics that center on education. And let me just say this, Dr. Elena, before we get back into our topic, people have often said when I go to speak, well, can't you talk about education without politics? And my answer, the simple answer and the complex answer is no, you cannot.
Not anymore.
Nope.
Well, with that in mind, the segue is the fact that it's all about data now, whether it's health data, social data, you know, you've got these systems mining the internet for data so they can get the gist of how people are thinking. So how does this, as a, especially a homeschool child, how does this healthcare data gathering apply to this federalization of sports?
Well, let's say you are in a program that is training you to, you know, go the sports route so that you can go to college and hopefully professional and things like that. Then you're going to have certain weight restrictions. You're going to have certain dietary restrictions. You're going to have certain immunizations. You're going to have to do a lot of things that maybe you haven't considered. Well, then that begs the question, do I really want my family micromanaged like that? Again, to comply. And every bit of that is tied to data tracking. Even the social presence of these players on social media, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, those are measured by people who are connected to the school. And depending on the amount of influence will dictate, okay, that helps dictate, excuse me, it doesn't totally dictate, but it helps dictate what sponsors interested in them. So you're playing a dangerous, dangerous game with our children when you go, okay, well, you have to look good, you have to act good, you have to comply just to be able to go do this one thing. Well, okay, if I'm doing all those things just to be able to play a sport, what else am I willing to compromise my child in? Or what else am I teaching them to compromise themselves in just to belong?
I mean, there's no authenticity in this system. You are really just a cost center. How much money can you make the, the system, the sponsor, and therefore, how do you keep the society on track without any outliers? You apply it with money, and then it's like a golden handcuff, really. Because if you go outside this, color outside this line, no one talks about the consequences, but does that mean you lose your the money that you get for school? Does it mean you get
kicked off the scholarship?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, the scholarship is hinges on, can you keep your grades up? Can you keep all your social responsibilities up? Can you, you know, because if you don't, then you're not going to be able to play or, you know, that sort of thing. You also have to stop and remember that this also goes into a religious aspect because, okay, you might go, let's say that you are coming into college and you're as green can be, so to speak, very innocent. But you know you have a firm foundation in your family's attitudes, values, and beliefs. You know that you believe in God, or if you don't believe in God, you know what your family believes in. And then when you get there, it's, well, sorry, we don't do that. You can't do that here. Or if you do that, you can't do it on this piece of property or in this building or in that way. You have to go elsewhere. Now, we might could see that there have been places and cases where athletes have gone, wait a minute, I'm of a certain religion where I need to do A, B, C, and D. You need to afford me that space to be able to do that. That gets into the legal system. I haven't seen a lot of cases where that has been brought up, but it wouldn't surprise me to see that come up. So, you know, we do still see, if you watch collegiate sports, depending on what sport it is, you do still see people who are not ashamed of God as their creator, and they'll say something. And then you see others who have, well, they started out saying that, and then by the end of their career, they're going, it's all me, it's all good, it's all the universe, it's I manifested it. You see where I'm going?
So sure do.
Even your beliefs are compromised if you allow it. Now, I'm not saying that every child will go in one way and come out another. I'm saying that at that point, some of them are still teenagers. Some of them are still so young that while they age-wise might be considered adult, maturity-wise, don't know about it. But why are we seeing the influences go to places that, frankly, are not the school's business?
I agree. And that makes me think of this whole go along to get along. What about the mental aspect? I know that in certain states, they're actually testing kids, right? There's a whole mental health evaluation aspect. Will that also be included with this?
Absolutely, it will. And that's one of the things about this SCORE Act is that it will continue to ensure federal and state funding for things like mental health, behavioral support. Now, one of the reasons that this is huge is because in high impact contact sports, it's not just football, there's hockey, there's baseball, wrestling, you have a lot of students who will get concussions. Now, there's been a lot of research from the NFL angle about, okay, by the time whatever team the player ends up on, oh, wait a minute. There's been a long history of head injury to the point that they have seen people who have been very patient, very loving, very kind, turn into murderers because they've had such damage to their physical being. So, of course, they're going to want to go in after the health care to track how Johnny and Susie are doing. They're also going to sit there and say, well, okay, because they've been playing sports and they've had a knock in the head one too many times, it's our business to provide mental health. I think, and don't get me wrong if you're listening, but I really think it's not the school's business to supply mental health support services. I think it needs to be the player and the player's family's decision based on capability and age. And if the player needs financial support, that is between the family and the physician. But we have so many people who are so convinced that education is a social service that we have to fund it as a social service. Education was about creating an environment to learn, not to earn. It was an environment to build up mental prowess in the academic world, not your hands and your legs' capability to be able to carry a ball or hit a bat or punch a person or any of those things.
You know, it seems that there is a real movement to take the whole bringing up a child away from the family structure? I mean, once you have all of these tests and all of these findings, and now you're going to have the treatment for whatever they find, right? You have picked up depression or something where there might be something underlying catastrophically. They're going to, will they take the child out of the house if the parents, you know, are against that? Will they medicate the child and mandate medication? You wonder how aggressive, I mean, I assume they could be quite aggressive since they own the data mining, you know, the data detail.
Right.
You get to, you know, interpret it any way you want. And if it's about control, it'll never be given, you know, benefit of the doubt. Always having a bad day, something happened in the family, let's just like forget this result of this test. It's black or white, isn't it? It's all or none.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the thing of it is I know that we have people of all ages who are in all states of depression or struggle of some sort. And if we stop and remember, it was never the government's job to be the entity that says, oh, yes, let me come in, let me help. That was the burden of the community as far as the church goes. It was up to the family and the church. Because if you'll go back and you'll look in scripture, it was, you know, you take care of the widows and the orphans, you take care of the disabled, you take care. But it was never said, oh, yeah, by way of the government, let's go do all this. Because I know you have listeners who will be believers. You have people who are non-believers, and that's their business. But the point of it is no matter whether you believe or you don't, you're an American. And when you see your government running roughshod over everything, that's a time to get involved.
Well, it's definitely a time to get involved if the money lines are, you know, there's an incentive to, one, get your child in it, to have a diagnosis of some sort, and to magically have the treatment for it, whether that's medication, whether that's, you know, re-education or whatever they're going to do. Mm-hmm. They have an answer for whatever they're not testing idly. Like, that's all I have to say. Right.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I understand that when, and I've seen this happen by watching games, when a player does get injured, the school picks up the bill for that injured player, and rightly so, because the student was playing an intercollegiate game and they were injured. But again, if you take the public funding away from it, how viable would any of this be? If people are going, well, why in the world would she bring that up? Because after all, you know, it's a public university. Again, what happens when it's a private university? How are they going to be able to do this? Part of the reason is because you have those public-private partnerships. So if you're, you know, if you're receiving federal funding in any way, and with sports, it's definitely going to include Title IX. You have to really stop and go, wait a minute, can we live within our means? You know, as families, we're expected to live within our means. But when we somehow get to education, it's no, let everybody else pay for it.
Yeah, well, you get what you pay for. On that note, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. Once again, Lynn, how can people go to your website and, you know, really mine all the information that you have put out there?
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Elena. Yes, my blog is commoncorediva.com. You can find me on Twitter, X, whatever it's being called now, at Common Core Diva. I'm on Facebook, Common Core Diva 2023. I'm hopefully going to be able to be back with Catching Fire News Network very soon. And then I have also another opportunity to enlarge my outreach through a new network that's based, I believe it is in Texas, but I don't have all the details for that yet. So those are just some of the places that you can find me. You can also find some of my research at AmericanPolicyCenter.org. But yes, I'm available to speak as well in person or online. You can schedule that at info@commoncorediva.com.
Excellent. Now, we mentioned a couple of things and we kind of, I don't think we delved deep enough into them.
Okay.
One was the fact that there's so much betting from step one, you know, under, over, all sorts of stuff. You can't even keep it straight.
Right.
What's going to happen with the addiction side of this? Because there's going to be a percentage of people who go all in and become unfortunate victims of gambling issues.
Oh, well, don't you know that the government is there with that from the Department of Health and Human Services, Dr. Elena? Oh, my goodness. Yes, it's called the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Support Service. SAMHSA, I believe, is what it's what the acronym spells. But yeah, they'll have an answer for that, too. So if they don't get you one way, they'll get you the other way. And I'm not being totally I'm being a bit cheeky when I say that, simply because it's absolutely horrendous that we have a government that has become so tyrannical. And it's not just under the current administration. This has been growing for years, because again, Congress has been trying to get itself into the sports arena for quite a few years. But it's just absolutely horrifying to know that there's no place that as an American, you can go and just, hey, I want to go watch a game because there's so much other garbage going on. This will be a distraction. Because you know what's going on. It's not that you're trying to hide from anything. It's the fact of you just want to see a team go out there and play a good game and win a game. Or, you know, if they play good and they lose, well, hey, they tried. Not everybody's going to be a winner. But my point is I don't know of anything anymore that you could go and just, I want to enjoy it without seeing an agenda pop up or mm-hmm. seeing someone's social awareness pop up. Yes, we know those things go on. And yes, on every other day of the week, we'll deal with those. But let me have a respite, because I need that respite, just like everyone else does, to go, I don't need to be plugged into what's going on all the time.
Is there anything that we can do to stop this train from leaving the station? You know, is it anything?
I would say, first of all, know your legislation. You want to look for House of Representatives bill. This is all found at congress.gov. It's H.R. 4312. You also want to look up any bill that is related to that. If you can't remember the bill number, the bill name, the SCORE Act, the Stop Sports Blackout Act, you can do a general search if you can't remember congress.gov, but you know, you could go there as well. Type in what you're looking for. If you don't remember all of this, just go to congress.gov, type in sports, and you'll be able to see current legislation. You'll be able to see congressional reports. If you want to go to the NCAA, you can look at their website. You can see, oh, yes, this is what they're supporting. This is what they're using your taxpayer dollar for. And if you agree with it, great, let them know. But if you don't agree with it, let them know. Then start looking at the sports betting industry. Who's profiting? Where's it going? Is it actually going to make people richer, or is it being used to better society, if that's what you think that money should do? But then go back and look at the Constitution and tell me, I challenge you, tell me where it ever said that we were going to be able to federally control sports or healthcare or education.
Well, there's another side of this, or another aspect, and that's the religious side of this, which...
Oh, absolutely.
Is this the same thing as being able to control that, or to take it out of existence and this becomes your religion, some sort of sports?
Well, you know, that's interesting that you put it that way, because for a lot of people, their team is their God, and that's their business. I'm not going to advocate that at all, but... It takes the religion out of it. It also goes after the religious schools. I mean, let's look at Notre Dame, okay? They're a huge school. They're a Catholic university. Are they in on some of this? They absolutely are. And why? Because, well, we started way back when playing other teams. We've kept up that tradition. But along with that tradition, we have now inserted every agenda under God's green earth, under the blue sky, that whether it supports the Catholic faith or not, doesn't matter.
I mean, it's a bit, it's about money. I mean, ultimately, yes. You can't serve two masters, can you?
No, you're not supposed to.
Millions and probably billions of dollars being plugged in here. And it's kind of insidious, right? They introduced the NIL. Yeah, people started making a lot of money, kids driving nice cars, and they got addicted to it. They're not going to pull this thing out.
Well, that's part of the gambling. You were talking about the addiction. Well, there's another form of it right there. And it's not from the person who's the fan. This is from the player themselves. Mm-hmm. And go and look at how many professional sports people have been able to succumb to diseases or become victims of abuse or addiction. Or go look at the number who have fallen flat on their faces after all their claim to fame. And they're having to slog through life just like the rest of people now. It's heinous the way that we build some of these people up. And then when the rug is yanked out from under them, we're just going, tough patooties, dude, you're on your own.
Well, it's become an entertainment complex, right? It's so intertwined with acting, with the entertainment industry. It used to be separate, right? It was some honor to it. You know, you work hard, there's an underdog, you have an equal playing field. I don't feel that way watching most sports now.
Well, you know, I think you're right. And I think on some of these smaller schools, I will have to say that I can say this for some of the bigger schools too, that I've seen, some of them still get out there and they do it because they want to. Mm-hmm. And I have respect for them. Then there are others who can very well tell, no, we're in for the money, honey. But I just wanted to point out that if you ever wondered how sold out sports has become, go look when there's a championship, be it the bowl game season for college football, be it the Super Bowl for professional football, be it Wimbledon, be it the Stanley Cup or whatever the Masters is. And you're going to see sponsor after sponsor after sponsor. And you'll see, oh yes, well, so-and-so golfers mentioned or so-and-so swimmers mentioned at the swim meet or this or that, or the other. But then you're going to start to see that the corporate people are going to be lauded way more. And one example I can give you of that is there's an in-state rivalry. I know you're based in Georgia. There's an in-state rivalry between the University of Georgia and Georgia Tech. And for eons, the game that is played in the last part of November has always been called the Georgia-Georgia Tech game or the Georgia Tech-Georgia game, depending on which side you go for. Mm-hmm. Well, this year is going to be the first year that it's not known as the Georgia-Georgia Tech or the Georgia Tech-Georgia game. It's now known as the Investor QQQQQQQ, I don't know how many Qs, game. And people are upset because they're, wait a minute, my school's not being represented. This corporate entity has bought this game.
That's amazing. I didn't even know that, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and it's not, that's just one example. You know, I challenge you, go look in your state. And I say this because when it comes to the bowl game, when I started watching college football eons ago, you had maybe two or three bowls. There was the Orange Bowl, there was the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, three. That was it.
That was it. We now have it almost seems like we have a bowl name for everything, including Tidy Bowl. It's like, you know, we have the Doritos Bowl. We have the Tostitos Bowl. We have this bowl, that bowl, because it's become, like you said, a cash cow. And our children, either as youth or adults, are the sacrificial lambs in it.
If we let them.
Yeah.
And that's where the parents need to take responsibility and control of this, because you're painting a picture of the children that make it. What are those that don't? How does that devastate them? How does that lock them out? Right. That's what we really need to be concerned about.
Absolutely, because somebody's going to come up, well, I didn't get into this, so let me go and go start my own. Well, honey, if you want to, that's fine. You know, I've seen people go, okay, I could never compete in the Olympics because that's cutthroat too. And that's sold out to agenda as well on a global mm-hmm. aspect. But there are people who have said, okay, well, maybe I can't do the official Olympics, but I'll come over here and I'll gather in my community or my backyard, my neighbors or my family, and we'll have a silly Olympics. You're still having sports, but you're not turning it into the cutthroat, agenda-filled competition. You're just having fun. And after all, that's supposed to be about being active, being healthy, exercising, and just getting that fresh air and sunshine and just bonding. So go do it on your own.
You certainly don't need this. And I think you'd be happier too if it's just for the love of and for seeing how good you can be, you're right? Expanding your own horizons. I mean, that's what competition used to be about. Sports, you know?
Exactly. And I can remember a day when I would go participate in PE sports, because that's a lot of where it starts as well before mm-hmm. high school is PE sports. And we would have field days and I could go and I could run track, no problem. Let me have an archer's bow and I could not for the love of anything get that to work. Did I get a ribbon in archery? No, but I didn't care. I didn't get a ribbon for being on the track team either. I just went because I like to run. But when we started introducing that instant gratification, that was part of the demise of sports.
And a lot of other things, unfortunately.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Lynn, time goes way too quickly. I just want to make sure again that people know how to reach you. And you're still, you know, out there if people want to invite you to speak. You still do that or no?
Oh, absolutely, I do. In fact, I would love to be able to do that since physically writing hurts so much now. Being able to talk is something I can do and doesn't hurt. So
I love that. Well, thank God you have that. You can still do that.
We're blessed. I can.
So once again, thank you so much for joining me. It was an absolute pleasure and, as usual, an honor. I look forward to having you back.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Elena. And, you know, let's get out there and really rick 'em, rack 'em, ruck 'em and get out there and fight.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Thank you for joining me. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.